People talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. Well, I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country land, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country. And you're walking on the fight inside me. I read about some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe in fact. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count and be free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a fallen dynasty. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a foreign dynasty. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you run down my country, man. You walking on right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. That's the name of this program. You're on White Resistance Radio. Excuse me, .com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And, of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, the Conservative Party of Canada is having a leadership contest to replace Andrew Scheer, and convention to that will elect the new leader will be in June, but already potential candidates are lining up, including an old war horse from Quebec named Jean Charest. Now, Jean Charest was actually the leader of the old Progressive Conservative Party briefly back in the 1990s. He then went to Quebec and became a Liberal. That's right, became a Liberal and was Premier of Quebec two terms, I believe. Well, now he's thinking of getting back into federal politics. He is what we call a Red Tory. In America and the United States, that would be called probably a country club Republican. That is, on social issues, liberal, relatively conservative on fiscal issues, you know, like sort of for balanced budgets. In England, you'd call them the wets. Anyway, I don't think he's suitable for leader, but of course he there's a certain superficial attractiveness in that Charest is from Quebec, speaks good French and English naturally, and that would make him in a bilingual country, superficially attractive. There are other reasons that tend to be more just peculiar to Canadian politics, but this to me, as much as anything, should disqualify him. And this is from an article in the Globe and Mail on January the 8th.
Former Quebec Premier Jean Charest, who is contemplating a run for the Conservative Party leadership, has been acting as a consultant to Huawei Technologies in the Meng Wanzhou extradition case and the tech giant's efforts to participate in Canada's 5G wireless networks, a source says. In other words, he's a lobbyist for one of the biggest red Chinese companies, which is closely tied with their intelligence agencies, Huawei. Now, Meng Wanzhou is the daughter of the founder of Huawei. She was also the chief financial officer. Now, she's wanted in the United States on various charges. Back in December of 2018, the American government sought her extradition from Canada, so she's being detained, and this extradition request is fighting its way through the courts. Now, of course, she's immensely wealthy. Her bail conditions are laughable. She's free to run around. She's got a couple of big mansions in Vancouver. I believe she has to wear an ankle bracelet, and there's a certain amount of checking in that she has to do. But I mean, it's not as though she's is a prison cell or anything like that. So Zhang Xiaowei, former politician, lawyer, is advising Huawei on that, and also on efforts by this sleazy red Chinese company to participate in the next generation of wireless, which is 5G. Now, the American government and others are very, very concerned about Huawei, because in China, companies, there's not much of a line between companies and the Communist Party state or the intelligence agencies. That, you know, there isn't the strict line that there would be quite often in the West. Many intelligence agencies, including the United States government, are very concerned that in this 5G technology, Huawei has built in a back door, which would give access to all sorts of information that would be carried by the users. Valuable intelligence information, and not just talking about military information, but commercial information. And the Red Chinese are notorious for having stolen a great deal of technology. So there's a very valid concern here. So who's lobbying for them? Well, Jean Charest, some might say, well, that's just a job. But it says something about his worldview and character. Well, anyway, that's not the whole story, so we'll continue a bit here. Mr. Charest is part of a team of the law firm of McCarthy Tetreault, including former Privy Council clerk Wayne Wouters, that Huawei retained in the summer to offer strategic advice. So in other words, they get the big boys to help them out. A source said Mr. Charest and Mr. Wouters are providing strategic advice to Huawei. This includes intelligence and policy advice on understanding the extradition process facing Meng Wanzhou, the chief financial officer and daughter of the Huawei founder, Ren Zhengfei. They're also advising Huawei as it seeks approval to sell equipment for the construction of Canada's 5G, that's the fifth generation, networks. The federal government is conducting a cybersecurity review to determine whether Canada should bar the Chinese high-tech firm from participating in the next generation of wireless technology, as the United States and Australia have, and countries like the UK and Germany and New Zealand are under fairly strong pressure to do, as is Canada. Now, at the present time, the Conservative Party, under its present leadership, opposes going with Huawei for this 5G contract. Well, what would the party do under Jean Charest? A lobbyist for these people. You see what I mean? The press asked the big law establishment law firm of McCarthy Tetreault to comment, but they wouldn't. Mr. Charest's consulting duties for Huawei appear to put him at odds with the current policies of the Conservative Party, which has urged the Trudeau government to ban Huawei from selling its 5G gear to Canadian telecoms, as other members of the Five Eyes, and those are the five intelligence agencies that spy on the communications, mostly telecommunications of around the world, but especially of each other, and they report to each other. And these are the United States, Canada, Britain, the Australia, and New Zealand. And see, the way they get around the business of spying on their own citizens without a warrant is this. Canada doesn't spy on Canadians. Well, they may, but they're not supposed to. That is, without a warrant. So they'll spy on Australians. Now, Australia's intelligence agencies are not supposed, without a warrant, to spy on the telecommunications from their citizens. So let's say they spy on New Zealand. I've lost myself here. But anyway, what it is, let's say Canada will spy on New Zealand, their citizens, and report to them. So actually, New Zealand's not spying on its own citizens. Australia will spy on Canadian citizens, but not on its own, and report to our government. But anyway, this telecommunications equipment, monitoring or spying is very important. And Canada is a holdout, but has not yet decided whether to go with the 5G technology, which really is a risk. The United States and Australia have blocked Huawei from 5G networks in New Zealand, and rejected one proposal, has proposed one to build a 5G network with Huawei gear. Britain and Canada have yet to decide. Mr. Charest has publicly criticized the Trump administration over its request for the extradition of Meng Wanzhou on charges of fraud relating to violations of U.S. sanctions with Iran. On a business and trade panel hosted by the Empire Club in Toronto on November the 5th, Mr. Charest said it is important for Canada to seek closer ties with a fast-rising China. Quote, our policy toward China has been hijacked by Donald Trump, Mr. Charest said. We should not be kowtowing to another government with regard to our relationship with China. Mr. Charest added that Canada's global image suffered when it arrested Meng Wanzhou, this, of course, is pretty much the old party line that's been around Ottawa. The beginning as far back as the 1950s, but picking up steam in the 70s and ever since. That there is a pot of gold at the end of the yellow rainbow in China. The huge profits are to be had. And so we've got to make nice with the red Chinese government, do what they want, and maybe we'll get rich. Well, it hasn't worked out that way. They are a highly untrustworthy company, a country. They break commercial agreements, as they have recently by setting up barriers to the sale of Canadian rapeseed and Canadian meat. This is in retaliation for having detained Meng Wanzhou. They've also kidnapped two Canadian senior Canadians, and they're keeping them in horrible conditions in Red China. No, the Red Chinese are simply not to be trusted. But nonetheless, according to Charest, we should improve our relations with them for big trade bucks. He is very much an establishment man on this issue, and offers the conservatives absolutely no alternative. would be a disaster. Anyway, here is the Rebels report on Share, which was aired on Friday. I'm sorry, on Saturday. interesting title. Huawei rents former Canadian politician Share in Huawei case. And I think.
But yeah, Share is actually being touted as a Conservative Party leader, as if the one thing the party got wrong in the last election was its opposition to the carbon tax. Share promotes the carbon tax, but still, who else could muster $500,000 in 10 days? But here comes big news from the Globe and Mail, which is doing good work on the China file. Let me say what I said before about the coverage of Jody Wilson-Raybould. The Globe and Mail covers the China file excellently. I mean, really admirable, a real public service, speaking truth to power, which is hard to do for the media party. Look at this. Share advising Huawei in Meng Wanzhou case and on 5G networks. Let me read a little bit. Former Quebec Premier Jean Share, who was contemplating a run for the Conservative Party leadership, has been acting as a consultant to Huawei Technologies Company Limited in the Meng Wanzhou extradition case and the tech giant's efforts to participate in Canada's 5G wireless networks, a source says. Mr. Share is part of a team in the law firm McCarthy Cattrall, including former Privy Council clerk Wayne Wooters, that Huawei retained in the summer to offer strategic advice. Now I want to let you know I believe everyone has the right to a lawyer if they're charged with a crime. Even guilty people. Meng Wanzhou is fighting her extradition to the U.S., where they want her for financial crimes. I believe she deserves the right to a lawyer. And I believe a lawyer can represent her in that extradition matter without being pro-communist or pro-China or pro-Huawei. Our system sort of depends on lawyers to help people charged with things, even if they're guilty, by the way. But that second part of his retainer, Share is helping to lobby, sounds like, or at least provide some political strategy to get China's massive Huawei telecom company into Canada's phone and computer networks. So that's not defending an accused criminal and providing justice where needed. That's promoting China, promoting China's dictatorship. That's putting our national security at risk. That's choosing China over the United States, where even the Democrats say Huawei is dangerous. Here, just a reminder, here's Democrat Susan Rice, who was Obama's national security advisor.
It gives the Chinese the ability, if they choose to use it, to access all kinds of information, civilian intelligence, military, that could be very, very compromising. So much as I disagree with the Trump administration on a number of things, on this, their concern about Huawei, I believe they're right.
As a matter of protection, would the United States have to have a slightly different security relationship with Canada?
Yes, and that will throw the Five Eyes collaboration, which serves the security interests of every Canadian and every American, into jeopardy. It can't be done.
Can't share.
I don't see how we can share in the way we have. It's not a joke. It's truly serious.
The fact that, in addition to Share, the former clerk of the Privy Council, Wayne Wooters, the former top bureaucrat in Canada, who knows all the secrets, who knows the inside track, who knows the government's thinking, the fact that he's now happily working for a foreign power, that's super gross, even more gross than a former premier doing the same. A source, let me read some more from the Globe article, a source said Mr. Share and Mr. Wooters are providing strategic advice to Huawei. This includes intelligence and policy advice on understanding the extradition process facing Ms. Meng, the chief financial officer and daughter of the company founder Ren Zhengfei. They are also advising Huawei as it seeks approval to sell equipment for the construction of Canada's 5G networks. The federal government is conducting a cybersecurity review to determine whether Canada should bar the Chinese high-tech firm from participating in the next generation of wireless technology, as the United States and Australia have. So like I say, China is renting out former senior Canadian politicians and bureaucrats to battle our current senior politicians and bureaucrats, because Share and Wooters are for rent. And I get it. Everyone has to pay the bills. Some people want, I don't know, 4 or 5 cars, 2 or 3 homes. They want that millionaire lifestyle that so badly that they'll sell out their own country. Nothing illegal about it, just super gross. But imagine thinking that you can do that, go get the Chinese money, sell out your country's security interests, and then come back to the public life and run for public office after having taken private payments from a foreign power. Well, I guess that does make him the perfect red Tory, doesn't it? That's an excerpt from The Ezra Levant Show, which is a show I do every day. I do a monologue, interview an interesting guest, and then I read my hate mail. But you've got to
Anyway, that, a good comment I thought there by Ezra Levant yesterday on the same issue of Jean Charest and his, shameless lobbying for Red China and Red Chinese interests. here's the latest, well, maybe not the latest, but let's say almost the latest free speech victim in Canada. Man faces charges over online hate on social media. Now, it might be a bit fairer, as this poor fellow's not being even gone to trial yet, if the National Post had said alleged hate, but okay. A 38-year-old Quebec man appeared in court on Tuesday on charges of inciting hatred and advocating genocide in connection with racist and homophobic posts on a social media account. A judge ordered Valentin Auclair of Granby, Quebec, to be held for psychiatric examination, and he's due back in court January 13th. Auclair faces 2 charges of inciting hatred against an identifiable group and 1 charge of advocating genocide. The charges related to communications between July 30th and August 10th of 2019, and between November 4th, 2019, and January 5th, 2020. Boy, they move fast, don't they? We're going to shut this guy up. The posts include alleged hate speech against Muslims, Jews, blacks, and homosexuals, as well as several posts promoting Aryan supremacy. After his writings were brought to light, the author of the post took to the site to say his right to freedom of speech was being trampled. Well, it is. Now, this is all, you know, deliciously vague as to exactly what it is he said. So, let's see if we might not be able to find out a little bit more. This is the type of thing the press does. It gives you the broad picture. The hate speech against Muslims, Jews, blacks, and homosexuals. Well, that doesn't tell you what he said. You know, and that is a judgment. Now, that's an accusation, hate speech. Well, what is hate speech? Often it is speech that the accuser hates. Doesn't tell you what was said or now we're going to take a look at a couple of other summaries of the case. This is from the Canadian Jewish News. Maybe we'll get a little bit more information from them. Quebec man charged with incitement against Jews and others. 38-year-old man charged with inciting hatred against Jews and some other identifiable groups. Now, he has been in custody since his arrest. According to the Canadian Jewish News, Auclair's online activity promoting white supremacist views and images over the past couple of years was flagged by Xavier Camus, a Cégep teacher who tracks and denounces Quebec extremists using the internet. No, he's anti-white. He attacks what you might call nationalists. Camus documented Auclair's progression from spreading racist propaganda to glorification of Nazism and Hitler to outright calls for the annihilation of certain minorities and immigrants whom he called vermin. Auclair has been using the Russia-based VK, a social network, that's sort of a free freer version of Facebook, and I'd really urge you to get on it. It may be Russian-based, but there are all sorts of English-speaking people on it. Just go VK. Just hours before his arrest, Eau Claire posted on VK in French, "Our cause is bigger than me. Never am I going to kneel to international jury. According to Camus, some Quebec extremists are eluding the scrutiny of law enforcement by using VK to, how dare they? besides Jews, Eau Claire has spoken in the vilest terms about Arabs, Muslims, black people, Asians, and Latinos. Among the numerous screenshots of postings by Eau Claire that Camus has captured and posted are the following. Concentration camp is the greatest Nazi innovation. That permitted the extermination of a pile of Jews. That is good riddance," he says. This past November, he hailed Kristallnacht. "That's the day our good Führer acted legitimately to defend against the Jewish cancer that was eating away at Germany. That's the beginning of the liberation of Europe from the Jew." This is what he thinks he said. But alas, after 50 years, we again need crystal nights to purify Europe of international Jewry and foreign occupation or immigration. On January 6th, the organization stated this is the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs, stated it's deeply concerned by the discovery of online posts by self-proclaimed white supremacists in Granby, Quebec. We reviewed the posts and found them to promote violence and hatred against Jews, blacks, Muslims, Arabs, Asians, and Latinos. Now, again, this is only part of the picture, and at least there's a few more details than the mainstream media gave us. I would argue that while these statements may seem extreme, they are not directly advocating violence. They're just saying maybe it will be a good thing. Now, the language is fairly fairly blunt. I'm interested particularly in the accusation that this poor fellow supports white Aryan supremacy. Well, that's not hate. And again, what exactly is he saying? Did he say? We don't know. But you can make a perfectly valid case that the Aryans, or broadly the white race, are the most accomplished the race that has ever walked the face of this earth that we know of. The most achievements, like almost all of modern science is attributable to Europeans. Amazing art, architecture, and so on, attributable to Europeans. We're not even sure exactly what he said. But if the accusation is, well, he supported Aryan supremacy, you can make a very decent case that the Aryans or the white race have accomplished more than anybody else. Does that make them supreme? Well, I don't know. We can play with words, but what we have here is yet another attempt to squash an opinion. Now, doesn't make his opinions right? And the glorification of Hitler and the National Socialists should be his right. As certainly is, you can glorify communism. And there are active university professors who do that. You can glorify communism and say it was a wonderful system, remains a wonderful system. Too bad we just don't adopt it. Now, I think that those views are, quite frankly, are demented and wrong, but you should have the right to say them and state them. And see, the
The beautiful thing about freedom of speech is this. You can say what you like, and I can say you're a horse's ass. When I prevent you from saying it, maybe we don't know what you think. And there is none of this potential correction. Now, I think it's subtle. I mean, you know, I may say something and you may say I'm an idiot. And I don't immediately say, oh, that's right, I am an idiot. No, it doesn't quite work that way. But if you find yourself subject to criticism for something you've said, I think you are likely to at least give it some thought. It may take a while, but you may change your mind. And hey, isn't that a good thing? If, on the other hand, there is no such debate or discussion, when you open your mouth, we say, that's wrong. You should go to jail. That's hate speech. Or we'll send you for a psychiatric exam. That's the dangerous territory. And well, this, I think, is going to have to be fought out. Well, I'm always a big admirer of Mike King, and he publishes sort of a blog called Tomato Bubble, Real History. And he's going to give us a commentary on a New York Times recent article, or editorial, actually, by David Brooks. Anti-Semitism is a mental disorder. You know, this really has an uncanny and chilling ring of the bad old days of the Soviet Union, where many a political dissident was carted off to the horrible sane asylum of the Lubyanka prison. Why? Because it was thought, because communism, and this was perhaps in the somewhat older days, it was thought that communism was scientific socialism. You see, it's all based on science. Well, it wasn't, but okay, that's what they thought, they said or contended. So, you see, if you opposed communism, that could only be for one of two reasons. Either you were a CIA or MI5 agent, you know, or you were insane, because no sane person could oppose communism. Why, Bill? Well, because it was scientific. It's scientific socialism. You couldn't possibly oppose that. Otherwise, why, you are insane. Well, that's what I think was happening in the case of Mr. Eau Claire on the previous story. He's been sent off for a psychiatric exam prior to his case going any further. Well, here the New York Times says that anti-Semitism is a form of mental illness. And this is Mike King's anti-New York Times. He says, a daily web page summary of the dirty lies, glaring omissions, half-truths, and globalist bias of the New York Times front page headlines. We read and rebut their vile crap so you won't have to. And now this is a New York Times opinion, How to Fight Anti-Semitism by David Brooks. Anti-Semitism is rising around the world, so the question becomes, what can we do to fight it? We have to understand the many ugly faces of anti-Semitism if we are effectively to stand against it. And Mike King comments, break out the violins and pass the tissues. Little David Brooks of the New York Slimes and PBS fame is about to school us dumb goyim about the dangers and root causes of anti-Semitism. And more importantly, how to effectively stand against it, like banning books such as The Bad War with Amazon and Lulu, we presume. The Bad War is a book, excellent book on World War II by Mike King. And I believe it has been banned by Amazon and Lulu. On anti-Semitism in the air world, he says, this is a form of derangement, a flight from reality, otherwise, even in otherwise sophisticated people. This form of anti-Semitism cannot be reasoned away because it doesn't exist on the level of reason. And then Mike King comments, so Arabs suffer from derangement, eh, David? Of course, their sentiments have nothing to do with the brutal treatment which the Israeli military, which Brooks' son volunteered to serve in, meets out to the poor and dispossessed Palestinians. and its historical unprovoked attacks against nearby Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and even clandestinely Iran. No, it's all about derangement, so you couldn't possibly be sane and opposed to the Israelis. If you're an Arab, you must be insane. And there's a picture of a settler woman. Only Arabs only hate us because they are deranged. We see as a crazed settler woman attacks an Arab woman. On anti-Semitism in Europe, David Brooks says, in Europe, anti-Semitism looks like a response to alienation. In particular, it's particularly high where unemployment is rampant. Well, at least alienation is not as severe a neurosis as derangement. But here again, Brooks attributes anti-Semitism to a mental complex. It couldn't possibly have anything to do with the Jewish-owned debt-based monetary system that is choking the life out of European economies, or the fact that Jewish elites, by their own admission, are playing the leading role in multiculturalizing Europe, flooding the dying continent with wave upon wave of third-world immigration. Couldn't be possibly because of that, just because Europeans don't have jobs. Well, actually, there have been times of far greater unemployment. So that his analysis is cheap, glib, and not based on much. On anti-Semitism in America, Brooks, which even he admits is minimal, despite the fact, I think the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, was going to declare a state of emergency because there had been a couple of basically push-and-shove attacks on Jews, plus the black person who burst into a rabbi's home about 10 days ago with a machete and hacked away at five Jews, didn't kill anybody, but the one act of a man who very likely is deranged, it doesn't become an emergency. I mean, talk about drama. Brooks says, there are others who see anti-Semitism as another form of bigotry, but these are different evils. Most bigotry is an assertion of inferiority. What? Yes, that's it, David, of course. Just like our neurotic counterparts in the Middle East and Europe, we Americans, who are concerned about the negative impact of Jewish Marxism and Zionism, are also mentally unhinged. Pathetic, envious losers who suffer from an inferiority complex. Never mind the fact that sex-crazed Jewish Hollywood is corrupting our children, or that the Jewish Central Bank is debasing our currency, or that the Jewish lobby wants us to shed blood for Israel, or that the Jewish-run media is propagandizing the public with fake news, or the Jewish academia persecutes scholars who dare to question the conventional accounts of World War II. Our sentiments are entirely an inferiority complex. He has some interesting pictures here. Quote, some Americans hate us only because we are more talented and smarter than they are. There's a picture of that Silverstein woman showing her large rear end. Just total vulgarity. In Brooks' insular world, any criticism of the actions of organized Jewry is evidence of a mental illness. The Jews have nothing to answer for, not now nor in the annals of the 3,000-year-old history of anti-Semitism. The anti-Semitism of ancient Rome must have been due to schizophrenia. In Persia, bipolar disorder. In medieval Europe, paranoia. In Tsarist Russia, anorexia nervosa. In Latin America, attention deficit disorder. In Africa, sickle cell anemia. In Southeast Asia, anxiety disorder. On planet Mars, agoraphobia. Now, of course, he's being a bit funny here, but goes on to say, Brooks' bullshit is breathtaking to behold. This from the same man who wrote in a 2005 piece. This is what Brooks wrote. A few years ago, I wrote a book about the rise of a new educated class, the people with 60s values and 90s money, who go to Starbucks, shop at Whole Foods, and drive Volvos. A woman came up to me after one of my book talks and said, "You realize you're talking about what you're talking about is the Jews taking over America." My eyes bugged out, but then I realized she was Jewish and she knew that I was too, and between us we could acknowledge there's a lot of truth to that statement. for the Jews were the vanguard of a social movement that over the course of the 20th century transformed the American university system and the nature of the American elite. Thanks for letting the bit of truth slip out, David. It shall be used against you. I think it's a very, very good commentary. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side. I'm going to take a musical break now and move to a more happy tone. And this is a series of German drinking songs. So I hope you like it. This is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com.
Come on. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the Flying Side of Me. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. The show's repeated at 8 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe, the dauntless hero, came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes, and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the maple leaf forever.